I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Verifying.
The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
That's right, we are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome on in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network. This is usually the moment where I say, hey buddy, how are you? Well, there's nobody here. It's just me. Even Lloyd's gone today. Lloyd, again, shoot him off his well wishes. He's got some big stuff brewing, so you can wish Lloyd all the best. Follow him on Twitter, at Lloyd Colzone, and just say, hey Lloyd, congratulations on your momentous accomplishments. And he will love that. Okay, so for those of you panicking right now, Hans will be here. We only get limited time because the coaches have a lot of stuff going on. Yesterday, I went up to Logan to tape Blake Anderson for the Top 60 and 60. Put a little bit of that up on social media on the old Insta. It's the Insta, right? Not the Gram. Megan, I just want to make sure I'm right.
So what the Insta, yep.
So you don't say the Gram, you say Insta.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Just want to make sure because, you know. Trying to get that younger demo with a couple of 40-year-olds over here trying to skew young, and it's not particularly working well. But on the old Insta, you can see some footage of Blake Anderson recording some of his contributions for his player profiles on the Top 60 and 60. Hans is now just wrapping up recording with Kyle Whittingham. So you can so Kyle's contributions on his players. And then early next week, we'll knock out Kalani Sitake. And then, you know, there might be some other coaches involved, too. So, you know, just hang in there with us. The official announcement, number 60, will be made on June 9th. So that is when number 60 will be announced. Our ballots will go out next week. We've got a couple things that we're really fired up about that I think is going to make this really fun. So, yeah, Top 60 and 60 season is nearly here, and we're fired up because, honestly, it's one of the cool things we're able to do. And this is another thing that kind of came together. Hans and I, actually, we started doing the show in 2014, kind of going back in the way back machine here. Our first show may, in fact, we're coming up on our... Oh, my goodness. What is today? It's like May 25th, May 26th, I believe, was our first show that we did together back in 2014. So we're coming up on 8 years, and we actually tried to pull it off in 2014, the 60 and 60, and we just couldn't quite get it done in time. But then we started it in 2015. So we had, what, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. We took a year off in 2020 because of COVID, and we weren't sure if there was going to be a season. So 2021. So this will be the seventh Top 60 and 60 that we've done. So, yeah, no, we're fired up. This is going to be a lot of fun. And this one, with now the support and the arm and, frankly, the digital powerhouse that is Bonneville and KSLSports.com, this thing's going to be really, really fun this year. And there might be some fan interaction, too, coming up. So if you're cranky or upset, or if you want your voice to be heard, then we will find avenues for that to happen. Because one thing we've found out in doing this over the last, you know, 7 years is that we've noticed that people have a general reaction on various picks. They have some things they'd like to say, and they have strong opinions. And they also have strong opinions on how the voters performed. And it can get out of hand pretty quick. So, yeah, it's going to be it'll be interesting, to say the least. So we got that coming up, again, June 9th. But there will be some things that you can get involved in before June 9th. So hang tight with us. We'll get to that coming up here a little bit later on in the month. NBA playoffs. We got a busy, busy slate and a busy let's just say we got a lot to talk about. This is going to be a fun set of games coming up tonight. Celtics will be at Milwaukee taking on the Bucks, as the Bucks are trying to close out that series at home. Golden State's going to try to close out their series as well at home tonight after getting boat raced in game number 4. I got some thoughts on exactly how that's going to play out, which means the exact opposite will happen. But before we get into those games, we got to recap a crazy night as well. So let's get to it. Starting lineup right now. Here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, starting lineup here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors. Peach Windows and Doors, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. All right, this is going to be fun. This is why I love the NBA playoffs. You talk about overall sporting events. I'm a huge, look, I love all of them, honestly. NCAA tournament, probably, especially those first couple days, probably my favorite. Love the college football playoff. Love, obviously, the NFL playoffs. That's probably number one in my book from top to bottom, the NFL playoffs. NBA playoffs are always really, really high because it's not just the quality, but it's the overall quantity. And you go back, what was it, 20 years ago that they shifted the first round from best of 5 to best of 7. And now you've got a 7-game series throughout. And you look at what we've got right now brewing. This is as good of a second round of a playoffs that we've seen in quite some time. Now, finally, we do have a series that's over, as Miami was able to bounce Philadelphia. And trust me, we'll talk more about that, as Philadelphia and what's going on there seems to be falling apart, with Miami getting the 99-90 victory. So the Heat move on into the second round. And last night as well, in a game that Dallas pretty much controlled from start to finish, Dallas really used that big second quarter, outscoring Phoenix by 12 in the second frame, taking a 15-point lead into the third quarter, and then continuing to pour it on in the third. When you look at game sevens, now, okay, so I talked about the NCAA tournament. Usually the NCAA tournament, you look at games, and when you're trying to predict games, you're thinking, okay, well, hey, it's one game. Anything can happen, right? Anybody can beat anybody. But more often than not, you look at, okay, who's got stars and who doesn't? Who's got a stud and, you know, who's got a bunch of role players? And when I'm looking at this game coming up for Phoenix and Dallas in game number 7, the best player on the court between these two teams is Luka Doncic, right? I mean, you can argue that, I guess, but come on, you look at Luka. Luka's the best player on the court right now. And so, as weird as it may seem, and as crazy as it may seem, knowing that Phoenix was up at one point in this series 2-0, and now Dallas has rallied, they've tied it up, and I know the series goes back to Phoenix, and I think in my heart of hearts, I believe Phoenix wins this game, but when you've got Dallas and you've got the best player on the court, ooh, now we're talking. Now we got something brewing here, and it would not surprise me. Now, look, I know home court has held throughout this series. If memory serves me right, your home teams are winning these games and have won all 6 games in the first, you know, to the start of this series. But when you've got a player of Luka's magnitude and his ability, and he is the best player on the court. Now, Devin Booker, special. Chris Paul, he's been kind of hit and miss in this series, but still, I mean, he's Chris Paul. I don't know, folks, man. Like, I will pick Phoenix to win this game. I will expect Phoenix to win this game. It would not surprise me if Luka, who's just been phenomenal in these playoffs and has just been a royal pain in the you-know-what to not only just the Jazz, but now to Phoenix. Part of me wants to lean Dallas in this thing in a bit of an upset because I think Phoenix is wobbling a bit. Now, they can ride it pretty quick, and getting back at home is certainly going to change things pretty quickly, but, whew. That was interesting to watch last night because Dallas looked like a team that said, no. We're not going away. And that's what really has impressed me about Dallas because remember the Jazz win game one, no Luka, thinking, okay, well, the Jazz are going to be able to punch their ticket to the second round. That certainly didn't happen as Dallas put the clamps on and won it in six. And they are gritty. They are determined. And they just know how to make big plays in big moments. Now, you say the same thing about Phoenix, too. And that's what's really impressive. And I go back to that conversation that was a big sticking point to the point where Quinn Snyder held a impromptu press conference talking about the fact that the Jazz, hey, let's not focus on the blown fourth quarter leads. Let's talk about how well we're playing in the first three quarters. Well, when you take a step back and you look at this Phoenix Sun team in regards to that, and I don't know if the number still held, but it was near the end of the regular season when somebody put out the list that the Jazz would have the number one record in the NBA if the game ended after three quarters. And not only would they have the number one record, they'd have it by a landslide. And everybody talked about, oh, what a failure that is for the Jazz. And yeah, that wasn't good. That was pretty rough. But what stood out to me is they listed the top eight teams and what their record would be if you ended the game after the end of the third quarter. And Phoenix, who ended up with the best record in the NBA, was number seven on that list. So that tells you a lot about who Phoenix is and the mentality of the Phoenix Suns. Because you have a team here that obviously knows how to win in the fourth quarter and took a lot of deficits into the fourth quarter this year and flipped them into W's. And so when you look at this Phoenix team, they're gritty, they're determined, they know how to win in fourth quarters. So this game seven between these two teams, I am looking forward to that game as much as any game that I can remember in recent memory. Like, this is going to be awesome between those two teams. Because Dallas isn't going away, and they got the best player. You've got the Suns, who looked for a moment like they were going to easily punch their ticket into the Western Conference Finals, and it hasn't happened yet. And so they're stumbling a little bit, but they still have the experience. They still have a collective great team around them. You still have an easy first ballot Hall of Famer in Chris Paul and an up-and-coming superstar, which I think Devin Booker falls into that category as a superstar. And so you combine all that stuff. It's like, all right, KD bar the door. Let's go. We got ourselves a battle brewing. Now, for the games coming up tonight, same thing. You got Milwaukee. Now, remember, they flipped the script, stole home court with a win against Boston. And so they're taking that 3-2 advantage back home where they're taking on the Milwaukee Bucks, or excuse me, the Boston Celtics, up 3-2. Man, I have a hard time with this. Like, I want to say it screams Milwaukee, right? This whole thing, it lays out. Now, Vegas only has Milwaukee as a 1.5-point favorite. I don't know why, and I'm glad that Hans isn't here right now because sometimes I make some predictions and Hans will be like, well, why did you think that way? And usually you have good rational answers for that. I think Boston wins this game tonight, and if you ask me why, I'm not really sure why outside of maybe the Middleton injury, but yeah, Milwaukee's still up 3-2 and they've been without Chris for a while now. I don't know. It's a gut. I don't know. Like, I just feel like this series is still bound for seven. And if Boston's able to steal this one tonight, shift it back to Boston for game number seven, then I'm going to pick Boston to win this series. But Milwaukee knows that as well. And you get a chance to close out a team on your own home court, you have to do it. So you're going to give Milwaukee's best effort and that game coming up tonight as well. And then, all right, so you got the Grizzlies and the Warriors. And even though Memphis beat Golden State handily and at one point led that game by 55 points, that means absolutely nothing to me. That just means jack squat. I don't read into that one way whatsoever. Those are anomaly games. That's one that Golden State saw the direction that game was going, waved the white flag and said, have it. have it. I don't think Memphis has what it takes to go to Golden State. I think Golden State, after that first quarter, was like, we're not trying one way to come back into this game. Let them have it. Let them dance. Let them celebrate. Let them jump up and down and let Ja talk about, you know, run his mouth and do all that stuff, because it's coming back to Golden State. They're going to have to win a game in Golden State to win this thing. That ain't going to happen. Golden State's winning tonight. And I think that's a... Again, Memphis is fun, and I've enjoyed watching them. They've been my, I don't even want to say like the guilty pleasure, but, you know, there's those teams that you watch throughout the course of the season, and especially if you have the NBA ticket or Game Pass, I don't know, whatever the subscription thing is for the NBA, where you just, you know, you get every game. And Memphis, going back to last year, was always kind of my like, oh, Memphis is playing. I'm going to watch these guys because they were fun to watch. They're just fun. And it's going to bum me out when they lose tonight, because they've been just fun basketball. And it kind of bums you out a little bit, too, because that's kind of how the Jazz felt 2 or 3 years ago, right? Especially pre-bubble, where the Jazz were fast, they were loose, they were fun, nobody really expected them to be there, and they just enjoyed the moment. And where Memphis is right now is where the Jazz were a couple years ago, especially early Donovan. And it goes back to what we've talked about in regards to the Jazz, and Bowler's going to join us coming up at 105. I don't want to run this past him, and he and I talked a little bit about it, I think, last week as well, where it just kind of feels like the joy of Jazz basketball isn't quite what we thought it would be. Like, it just doesn't have that same kind of fun. And as a fan, you have fun, and you sit in the game, and you watch it, and you have fun, or sit at home, and you watch it on TV, and it's fun. But when you look at the players, the body language doesn't scream fun to you, or at least to me. Maybe I'm up in the night on this one. But it does feel like the emotional toll of what's gone on over the last couple of years made its mark on this team. And it's just not fun basketball. It's just not what you watch these guys like, are they really enjoying being around each other, being around this sport? That's why I think this offseason is going to be really critical. And I think that's why it's important for these guys to just get as far away from each other as possible. Because if you go back over the last couple of years, now, when did the bubble kick off? What, July, late July into August? And so you had the bubble, you know, you had the bubble, and you can call it whatever it is. You know, and the Jazz finished the regular season and then blew the lead against Denver, the 3-1 lead. And there was a heavy disappointment. And then you had the next season kick in really quickly. What, December? So you had the next season kick up really quick, right after the bubble. And then that season, the Jazz fight their butts off all season long to try to hold on to the one seed. They get it, get past Memphis in the first round, and then blow the 2-0 lead against the Clippers and lose that series in six. And then you have international play, and you have all the Olympics and everything else going on last summer, and it leads right into this year. And now the Jazz were back at it, and they had all the heavy expectations of running it back and being the number one seed, but yet the disappointment of losing to the Clippers. So that's weighing heavy on this team. And I get it when Quinn Snyder talks about the fact that, and it never really resonated with me until you heard that media availability early in the week on Monday. But when he says like this, these last 3 years, or maybe the last 2.5, when you go back to post-COVID, or I mean the bubble, I don't mean post-COVID, but you know what I mean, like after the COVID shutdown and bringing it back in the bubble, I can understand why these players think to themselves, or these coaching staff, and even the support staff and everybody else around this team looks at this and says, this felt like one giant year. Because when you throw in a quick turnaround after the 2020 season, when you throw in Olympics and international play last summer, and all the emotional toll that took place, you understand why this team probably just needs a long offseason and a long break. And that's why I'm a big fan of, and I know you as a fan, you want to know what's going on, and you want to have some clarity as to what this, what the future of the Jazz look like. And you like, we need to know who's coming back and who's not. Is a coach coming back? Are they trading players? What's going on? You're not going to know any of that outside of maybe the news on Quinn Snyder. If Quinn's, and I don't know if Quinn's coming back, if he'll make some official announcement, or Quinn will hop on Twitter and take a picture and say, I'm back, or whatever the dopey kids are doing these days when they decide to return to the team after going into the portal or whatever the case is. Like, I don't, that's not Quinn's style. I think if Quinn's coming back, he just, he won't, you know, he'll just show up, training camp will begin in September, and Quinn will just show up, and then they're like, oh, okay, I guess Quinn's back here. Like, there's not going to be some grandiose announcement because he's already under contract, so there's no reason to do it. So don't plan on some big statement or big announcement from Jazz PR saying Quinn Snyder's back. He'll just won't leave, and which is the way it should be, honestly. I mean, it's ridiculous how serious and how important people try to make themselves out to be. So I wouldn't take that. Unless Quinn's leaving, I would assume he's coming back. But the other stuff, the player movement, the trades, all that other stuff that could come down the pipeline, which I do think there'll be a certain element of that. I don't know how big it'll be. I don't know if it'll involve Donovan or Rudy. Right now, my sense is that they're going to try to find a way to make it work with the two of them coming back. Not a lot of inside sources on that, because I don't think you can trust a lot of people with inside sources on this stuff. Everybody's got opinions. Everybody's going to claim they're in the know, and about 99% of them are not. So let's just be honest. I'm going to take this for what I believe will happen, is that I do think the Jazz are going to make a concerted effort to bring back Rudy and Donovan. Now, those two might have some opinions on that matter that might force the Jazz hand. But that's why, back to my original comment, I think it's important for everybody to get away and just let cooler heads prevail. Not saying that anybody's ready to make a rash decision right now, but I do feel like there's some players out there that probably need to just get on a beach somewhere and get as far away from each other as you possibly can. And at that point, then you can kind of bring people back and say, okay, look, this is our plan. This is what we want to do. This is how we're going to use you. This is how we're going to make the roster better. But just know this, Donovan, Rudy, you're going to be a big part of what we're going to do here going forward. Let's have this All-Star game. Let's celebrate you. Let's celebrate you. And let's celebrate this team and this city and this organization and go from there. And it's that simple. But again, if you're expecting something big to happen, if you're expecting some big announcement on the Jazz in their future, it's not happening. And if it won't happen at least until maybe 2 or 3 days before the draft. And that's the end of June. So calm yourself. It's going to be all right. Look at you back in the building. How are you?
Tried to fly back for you. I'm doing good, man.
I should have probably gone to break and let you get your breath a little bit.
No, we're good. I just was running in from parking.
I just saw your text. Sorry.
Had a great conversation. Do you want to?
Yeah, let's go to break.
All right. Come back and reset it.
Yeah. By the way, all day today, we're going to be talking about our good friends at UFirst Credit Union. Go to ufirstcu.com for more information. But so many things that they can do for you, and we'll talk about that throughout the show today. But remember, their name may be changing, but their commitment to you is not. 65 years in the community, and they're expanding Utah County. They're going up north as well. Go to ufirstcu.com for more information on what they can do for you. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. And Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. All right.
I always love my time with Coach. It's always fun, interesting, exciting.
Insightful. Some strong opinions there.
Hey, for any of you out there that are wondering if Kyle still has it in the tank, yeah, he's still got it in the tank. He's still got the vigor. He's still feisty.
He's not messing around.
Well, I walked in like 4 or 5 minutes early. Oh, were you going to come today? Yeah, we've got a tight schedule. I was like, okay, I'm here.
But you were 5 minutes early.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I was early. You know, he's just a prompt person. He wants things on time, ready to go. I said, I'm ready to go. I'm hooking up, you know, yeah, the mic thing that you gave me. And he's like, what are we doing? Well,
I'm like, that's a pretty quick setup too. It's, yeah, not that,
like, just so then I hand him the list, and he's, you know, instantly he's like, well, where's so and so? I said, well, he's on there. Wait, so and so, Tavian Thomas. I see he's on there. He's on the other side. Well, where's? And it just kind of goes down the list. We did miss a couple guys. We did, and he corrected that. So,
oh, okay.
So I'm just giving BYU fans a heads up. There's going to be a couple of BYU guys that are going to be missing, I guess, this year.
Because we're scared of Kyle.
Yeah. Don't know if there's room for a couple of offensive linemen from BYU.
Because this is when the work really begins, because I've got Utah State. I met with Blake Anderson yesterday and spent about an hour and a half in his office going over his players. And same thing, like he'll take a player off and then add three. And I'm like, well, I only have you slotted for this amount of – well, then fix it.
Yep.
I'm like, well, we got, you know, BYU and Utah. I was like, well, we're a top 25 team too.
Yep. Yep.
Like, what do you want? Like – I get it, Rose Bowl and, you know, all this other stuff. But, hey, you know, we beat the Pac-12 team that beat Utah. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Let's maybe calm it down a little bit.
That's feisty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's good, man. I love it.
He didn't, by the way, he didn't say it quite like that.
But I love it because it's fun just to, you know, you sit down with these head coaches and you ask them about a player. You can tell, and I'm not going to mention which players kind of spark the eye a little bit, and they're like, oh yeah, this guy. By the way, there was one guy that we threw on the list that he didn't expect us to have, and he's like, oh, well, who did their homework? And I was like, no, well, look, all three of us, we sit down, me, Scott, and Lloyd, we sit down and we do our homework. And he's like, oh, I didn't think you'd have that guy. I said, does he belong on there? He's like, yes, he belongs on there. I would have made you put him on there if he wasn't on there. So we got that guy. We were missing two names. And those two names are recorded and will be submitted for voting.
We're gonna have to bump this up to like the top 65 and 65.
OC texted me yesterday. He goes, "Why don't you guys be bold and do the top 90 in 60 days?" It's like, no, we can't. I'm not putting 90 players out there. It's hard enough to do 60 usually.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
I heard you talking on my way back down here, and I mentioned to Kyle this is our eighth year and our seventh 60 and 60, and he was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
It's pretty shocking
how
fast it goes. How many of the seven 60 and 60 lists have had a Ute as the top?
It's always been a Ute.
I was going to say, has it ever?
It's never been a non-Utah player. Utah players have always finished number one.
Because I remember Lolotalele
won twice. Devontae Booker, I think, won the first one.
Yes. Devin Lloyd was last year.
Devin Lloyd, and I'm going to have to go through. But yeah, it's all.
There's only three others.
Yeah.
Two others.
I should probably be keeping track of all this stuff.
Yeah, but I mean,
problem is too. Like, I had all this stuff, just behind the scenes stuff. Like, I had all this stuff like archived in my old email, and when we switched over to Bonneville, I lost a ton of this stuff. So.
Oh yeah. But we'll find the overall number ones. So, interesting thing, and something that I can't remember a time where I'm sitting there talking to Kyle about these top 60 players
or the top 60 Utes in 60.
Yeah, or the top the 60 Utes in 60. But he said, "Hey, I need you to really look at this offensive line. This is a good offensive line." And he was really excited about the offensive line. And, you know,
even
with Nick Ford leaving, he really likes Braden Daniels, really likes Jaron Kump. He really likes Keaton Bills. He basically said this is going to be a very good Laumea. And, you know, Laumea is one of my favorite guards in the state.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd say, and whether usually Clark Barrington's playing that guard position. I love Barrington at the guard position, but those are two of my favorite guards in the state. And Kyle was like, I've got an offensive line. Like, he's really excited about it. And I think that is always an amazing indicator of what potentially is out in front of you. But obviously, he loves his guys. They put so much work into not only recruiting them, but retaining them
and developing them.
And developing them. And wow, does he loves his guys, and he sticks up for them, and he's pretty passionate about them, and he full-heartedly believes that the number one player in the state's coming out of the University of Utah. So
this is one year, though, that because I think the closest we ever got was I think Taysom, and I can't remember who finished. Maybe it was that year. Maybe it was that 14 where Booker got Taysom.
I think it might have been.
And that was, I mean, we're talking just a fraction of votes away. I mean, it was like, we use a point system, and I think it was within like 3 or 4 points. And it I don't remember it being that close again.
No, it feels like it's been pretty separated.
Yeah.
He really went on about, and I don't want to ruin any of the audio because it's fun to kind of unveil what these coaches think about these players.
Yeah.
But wait for the Brant Keithy announcement, because I thought what he said about Brant Keithy was really interesting. We may see a lot different things out of him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of different things. Just the way he put it, it was like, oh, okay. So we
got some info then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got a little bit more long-winded than last time.
Yeah, got some info there. You know, it was fun to listen to him talk about Cole Bishop. And, you know, you can tell that Cole's going to be a dog, and he knows it. I don't think I'm out of bounds saying that Coach wanted some younger guys. I'm not going to put any labels on him, but he wanted some younger guys on the list, and he knows he's got a couple of dudes that can come in right now and help at a very young age. So Utah's in a really good position. He knows it. We know it. They did lose some leadership, some talent, especially on the defensive side. Devin Lloyd is an amazing talent, but leadership in Britton Covey, that is very hard to replace.
Yeah.
But as Kyle put it, Cam Rising is the leader of leaders. And so he makes up for a lot. And it's going to be fun to see what step Cam Rising takes in this upcoming season. Because I think there's another gear and another step.
I would agree with that.
As long as he stays motivated, and I don't see any reason why he wouldn't.
Well, I mean, I think you've got three quarterbacks here in the state of Utah. They're going to finish in the top five. And I wouldn't surprise me if one of them wins number one overall. But overall, though, you look at, I mean, this is, I mean,
The number one overall is,
there's not a
pretty wide open.
Yeah, there's not a conclusive, like, oh, it's going to be that guy. Like, it just doesn't. I don't see that. Where it's just like, oh, yeah, no, that guy's going to win it, and who knows who's going to finish in second.
I think that potentially next year's draft, the highest pick out of the state is going to be an offensive lineman, I think. It'd probably be Blake Freeland. That's my guess. If again,
wow, that was your guess like 4 years ago, too.
Yeah, he's got to put the work in, yeah. But you've seen his name is floated and rumored as a high-end pick. And he's got to have a fantastic season, but he could be the highest pick out of the state. But I don't think he's going to get the votes because he's an offensive lineman. You got to be an Outland level lineman to get that voting. Because what do we got? 15? We're going to have more voters this year. What do we got? 19?
Usually 20? Anywhere, and some, you know, some years are better than others. It depends on who sends the ballot back, but it'll fluctuate anywhere from 15 to 18. Voters. Yeah. I think we're going to be well over 20 this year because we're welcoming in everybody over at KSLSports.com and KSL, and those guys are going to, they're all going to get ballots. And the one thing is, I always send the ballot and say, like, hey, if you get a chance, I would love for you guys to fill this out. Now, Nate Dowdle is the boss of all these guys, and Nate will say, you will fill out a ballot, and you need to have it back. So
and take time with it.
I anticipate that the responses will be much more increased than what we've seen in the past.
And each of your votes will be public.
Yeah, and Nate and Nate will say, if you don't fill it out, I'm going to show up and kick you in the quad.
Which is code. But I think Jeremiah Jensen, over the years, he's had a...
Jeremiah's always filled one out.
He's always had a vote, but bringing in Sam Farnsworth would be fun.
Yep. Mitch will fill one out. Michelle will fill one out. Yep. You know, and so, and yet, and also, too, because I always know, like, somebody's going to be like, well, you know, Mitch is going to be slant BYU, and Michelle's going to slant Utah. I don't think so.
No,
in fact, there is a prominent media member here who always responds and fills out a ballot and does probably the best job. And well, I will say this, puts in more research than anybody else. Prominent media member. And people will think that that person slanted in their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And they always go out of their way to say, you're not making this public, right? And I'm like, never, never will. Because that person isn't afraid of the other team's fan base. They're afraid of it. His own fan base.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Correct.
Because he's so honest and deliberate with it. Uh-huh. And it always bothers me because when something comes up, like, I'm like, nuh-uh.
Not that guy.
Not that guy.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's always the guy that you probably wouldn't think that's being way honest. And there's been a couple times even I have disagreed with him. Like, I think you put that guy too low.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I don't think so. So they do their homework, and it's fun to see where these guys land. You know, when you think of guys like Dalton Kincaid and Brant Keithy, and we went through this, you know, you've got Karini Reed, who's returning after having a fantastic freshman season. And then you got transfers, which, by the way, you got a couple of really good transfers here in the state.
Yeah.
One we forgot that Kyle reminded me of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oops. He's like, where's this guy? And I said, he wasn't on the spring roster. Well, it's because he wasn't in here for spring.
Oops.
Oops. Sorry. We'll get him on there. So we got him on there. But we are working. We have worked in transfers over the last couple of years, just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a guy. You're going to see probably, what, six transfers? Seven?
Oh, wow.
I know there's three for the University of Utah.
Two from Utah State.
And one, two for BYU.
All right.
Because so you've got the running back and you've got the fullback.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what's that? That's seven?
Seven.
Seven transfers.
Wow.
Hey, by the way, I'm not even worried about talking about this. The transfers, typically when we put them on the list, the transfers have to have done work somewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
We've got to have college film on them to they've done work, because I know there's one very prominent transfer here in the state that people are going to be like, well, he's a homegrown boy and he came home, and it's like, yeah, but he didn't put any college film out there. So we don't – to me, he's a freshman. And until I see what he does, you know, against some of the better defensive ends in the country, he is a freshman.
Yeah.
With no college film.
Well, and that's the thing so when we re-rank players at the end of the year and we talk about and throughout the course of the season, like somebody's going to look at a true freshman that may be blowing up at a school. Or somebody that we didn't have on the list, like, oh, he wasn't good enough for your 60-60. Look, he just ran for 1,000 yards. Okay, but guess what? This is based on prior production.
Yep.
Because that would be irresponsible for us to project what a player is going to do.
I totally agree. Even as good as these freshmen are.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, Glover is going to be spectacular. By all accounts, Fano at BYU, and I know that he was dealt kind of a tough blow during spring ball with a leg injury. Hopefully he can repair and get back quickly, but he had worked himself into a starting position. And I don't know if they announced that, but I saw it with my own eyes that he was going to be a starter. And, you know, it's hard because I want to put him on the list because he's fantastic, but we have to be able to see how he does on a college football field. Some guys just don't. Some guys can have the practices of the world, and they'll get the start, and then coaches are like, well, where's the guy that was doing this? And then it's a completely different ball of wax. So we do slow play it a little bit, but that doesn't mean they won't be on the list next year.
Oh, yeah.
It could be high on the list. I mean, we've seen freshmen go from freshmen and not listed to be in the top 10 the next year.
Yeah.
Running backs. In particular, you know what was it? I was just having a conversation with somebody, and I wanted to do an honorary Ty Jordan placement.
Yeah,
you're talking about freshmen that didn't get it when they were freshmen, and then would have been top five. Man, Ty would be your number one, in the state.
Yeah. Yeah, the season he would have had last year.
He would be your number one player in the state.
My goodness.
He was so good.
Yeah.
And it's such a short window.
Well, and frankly, the trajectory he was on, you would have felt bad for him because he would have had to have come back for this season, but would have been drafted.
Help me remember, was it the COVID year? Was it in? Was it the off season of going into the COVID year when we didn't do the 60 and 60?
No, correct.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have made it anyway, but we didn't do a list. That year.
Yeah. He might have been top five
on a re-rank
if that year.
Oh yeah,
going into that following season.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, geez, he may have been number. Well, would you put him ahead of? Why am I spacing? Who won it last year?
Well, Devin Lloyd.
No, he wouldn't have been ahead of Devin, but he would have been number two.
But he probably would have been number two. I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't ask me who finished number two last year.
Don't ask me either. We got to get our old lists out. Keep them in front of us. Because, you know, there's so much talent. But I think he would have been easily in the top three.
Yeah.
Special talent.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Remember, top 60 and 60. Number 60 will be announced coming up on June 9th. What you may have missed next, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network.
Holy cow, this Brittany Griner case has gone absolutely bonkers, and I'm sure she's freaking out. I'm sure that this is a really tough time for her. And regardless of how you feel about Brittany Griner, and I get it, you can feel how you want to feel, but everybody needs to remember that she's a human, and she is a very prominent name in the WNBA, and Russia has basically held her since February. And today, Scotty, she appeared for a brief hearing. She was handcuffed, her dreadlocks covered kind of in a red hoodie, and her face kind of drooped low. And if you haven't seen that, you could tell that she's in a world of hurt, and her holding was extended by a month. So her detention in Russia was just extended by another month.
Well, geez.
So what are we looking at? February? March?
April.
April.
Now we're into May.
Into May.
So now she's going to have a fifth month added to that?
So we're looking at, you know, 5 months of holding.
And look, this isn't just your county jail where you have a cot and, you know, you can go out and run around a little bit and you got TV privileges and three decent meals a day. Like this, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm off base, but Russian prison doesn't sound like it would be white collar.
No, it doesn't. It sounds a little scary, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Especially right now. Who knows? But there are parts of the Biden administration that said that Griner is, in fact, being wrongfully detained. Says the WNBA and U.S. officials are working towards her release together without any visible progress. Russia has described Griner's case as a criminal offense without making any political associations. So,
I mean, can we just, let's be honest here. Let's say this was LeBron James. Or let's say this was Kevin Durant or Tom Brady. Or Peyton Manning.
You want my best guess?
Sure.
I think they're still in holding.
You think so?
I do. And I would even worry more about their health.
I don't know, man.
I think that we would go
to extreme measures to bring that person back.
Oh, I see. Oh, you're asking on that side. I think we would probably go, yes, and that's sadly said,
yeah.
But I think it would be more of a public affair. You've seen that U.S. officials have told the WNBA, don't, the less of a fuss you make,
makes them dig their heels in even more.
Yeah, the more fuss you make,
yeah,
because then they think they've got this pawn. So I would wonder if they had Kevin Durant in holding or LeBron James in holding, they would have your king in checkmate.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you guys want to get ugly? We'll get ugly. This guy broke the law in our country, and this is how we're going to handle it. And you won't, you know, it worries me because I kind of feel like they feel like they've got a little pawn. You know, they've captured the knight. And it's like, well, how aggressive do you guys want to get? Because we've got somebody that we can make a real public display of over here that decided to sneak a little hashish in. Or try to sneak hashish out. I don't know the exacts of it. But I think it was hashish, wasn't it?
It was like hemp oil, yeah.
Some marijuana-related offense. And again, I get it. Some people, you know, you've got... Because of the political landscape and the area that Brittany Griner landed on that political landscape, and people are like, fine. I wish people would stop that. Stop it. She's a human. She's an American. And she just happens to be one of the best female basketball players in the world.
Yes.
And she deserves our attention. She deserves to have our country go get her.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty, if it was you in holding, if it was me in holding, if it was somebody, look, we're talking about this. This is just a name to us. And I look at it and I'm like, but this is more than a name. This is a human being that is being held by the Russians because of her name value, not because of her offense.
Yeah.
Because of her name value. If this was a nobody, they'd have been back in our country. I think.
I don't know. I could see it going both ways. Yeah.
I feel like that this is a public holding. Like, we've got your piece, so you might want to be a little bit more wise with how you're negotiating things. This couldn't have come at a worse time.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, I do think, though, that if it was somebody that was an NFL, a really prominent NFL or NBA player, they'd throw SEAL Team 6 over there and, like, extract
them. You think so?
I do think that there would be some extreme measures to bring that person back. I mean, look, we're not starting an international conflict. But I do think there would be a lot of behind-the-scenes work.
Let's say it's Tiger Woods. One of our country's more beloved.
Tiger Woods is home. I do believe Tiger Woods would be home. And there would be...
The exact same offense.
Yeah, and exact same offense. And I do think there would be a lot of... Like, Russia would get a pound of flesh out of it. Like, they would get something that they really, really want. But we would go to extreme measures to bring him home.
That's not good.
That's just me guessing.
No, it's good that we would go to extreme measures to bring him home. It's not good,
that they're not doing it for Brittany Griner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes me...
Like, Brittany, unfortunately, for because I agree with you, if it was like Joe Schmuckatelli, they're like, get out of here. Just
I don't think...
What
Russia,
are you doing?
Yeah.
They're gonna be but yeah, she's not... So she's elevated above that, but she's not to the next level where... Where everybody's
all
like,
hell's
we
got to
get this, and we're bringing hell with us unless you get her out. Like, it's a weird spot, unfortunately, for her, because she's somewhat of a celebrity, but not enough of a celebrity where, I mean, this would lead every national newscast. It would be
every
Tiger
night.
Woods watch 2022 and a little, superimposed picture of him behind bars with a... with the old Soviet Union, you know, thing.
Yep.
And I mean, this thing would be huge story.
They'd play videos of the military marches, and they would show all of cold Russia. And then there's our Tiger Woods, our beloved, precious Tiger Woods. Yeah. And it would be, and they would have Sarah McLachlan behind it, and they would make a whole display of it. You're right.
And we'd be like,
it would be daily. And
bring Tiger home. You want Phil? Have Phil. We'll give you Phil.
Hey, and I don't think the PGA Tour would be like, hey, let's keep this.
No.
Don't bring any more attention to it. I don't know if the WNBA is handling this right way. Now, I think they're doing it to try to provide the most safety to Brittany Griner, but what if the WNBA was like, hey, we're not going to play another single game. We will not take another step until our country takes the necessary steps to get one of ours back. So, you know, because if the golf world did that for Tiger.
No tournaments. Masters, we're sitting it out. We're not participating.
But if the WNBA, you know, now these girls are just playing basketball and keeping quiet.
They're like, hey, just business as usual.
Because you wouldn't want to cause any more problems.
No.
But It's kind of like, because they're being quiet,
it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. I actually had to dig up an update for her.
Oh, man.
Because we hadn't mentioned it in like a month.
That's unfortunate. All right, Hans and Scotty. Hey, remember, University Credit Union is now U First Credit Union. Utah's growing, and U First Credit Union is growing as well. Hans, what started at the University of Utah campus now has 110,000 members, 20 locations, locations up and down the Wasatch Front. They've got one down by you, right?
In
Eagle Mountain.
Yep.
There's one up in Bountiful by me. They're all over the place. And whatever you need your financial institution to do for you, they can do it. I love the great programs. They're rewarding kids for straight A's, giving out cold hard cash. It's just an incredible programs. In fact, if you're looking for a car loan, if you're looking for a refinance on your house, you're looking for a mortgage, whatever the case might be, you stop in and they're going to take care of you because you're more than just a number on an Excel sheet to them. You're a person. You're a person with a family and a face and financial goals, and they're going to help you get there. Go to ufirstcu.com for more information. That's ufirstcu.com. That's the letter U, firstcu.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.